Ezra Perek Hey. We closed the previous perek with a line which could actually be more properly part of this perek. And that's because, remember, we weren't clear how to understand the previous perek. Previous perek, as we noted and as the Malbim went to great lengths to try to deal with, began with the discussion of what was happening during the days of Koresh and what were the problems that were being caused by the locals to try to prevent the building of the Heichal, and suddenly switched to in a different parasha in terms of the graphic construction of the Sefer, suddenly switched to a letter that, on the simple basis of that letter, if we take it literally, it had nothing to do with the introduction. It was just another indication of how bad things got in the future, because it was talking about a takshata, not Koresh. It wasn't talking about the binyan of the Heichal, which had been the subject of the opening of the previous perek. Suddenly switched to the walls of Yerushalayim, which wasn't even an issue until much later. Okay, on the surface, it certainly appears that this is part of the confused nature of the book, which is purposely there to give us a sense of the entire overall historical setting, instead of giving us the development of chronologists. The opening lists were part of a historical setting. It didn't refer to any one particular time at which that number of people showed up, as we saw. In which case, the closing, which is also the beginning of another perek, Pasuk Chav Dalet, another parsha in the graphics of the Nach, that Pasuk B'dein B'telet Avidat Beit Alav B'Yerushalayim is the continuation of the opening pasuk, or the opening few psukim that we had before. In other words, pasuk dalet in perek dalet was stopped with this non sequitur because it started this other letter, and then we get back to the closing of the problems that had been caused in the first four psukim. And because of those problems, of which the above letter is an indication of how ridiculous it became in the future, because of that, if that's the case, then the Ma'amar Muzgar, in a sense, or it's that bracket in the middle, is closed by the Vadein B'Telet Avidat Beit Alaha, in which case it would make sense to open the next Perek, which is the Goyesha Perek Hey, with the continuation of, and what happened after that Bitul. After that Bitul, we waited until Shnat Tartim Amalchut Aryavish Melech Baraz, which is the closing. So 18 years later, appears now in Perek Hey, the first Pasuk, the two Nevi'im, Chagai and Zechariah, Fihitznabi. Remember that we are at a point in which the government is now against the building of the Heichal, and the message, if the previous letter was actually part of the chronology, the message of the letter was until further notice. Stop building until further notice. And they used the army to prevent the building, the locals and the Pechat of the Eivor HaYar, Eivor HaNahar obviously wasn't the Trans-Jordan, it was the Trans-Euphrates, because it was being spoken about from the point of view of Persia, what we would call the Middle East area. So the Trans-Euphrates is the Eivor HaNahar that is referred to here. And because of that, everything was now in suspense. This is 18 years later, which, as we pointed out, closes the 70 years from the time of the Koresh proclamation, the additional 18 years that were the difference between the original first Golas and the Churban. And so at that point, Chagai Nevi'ah and Zechariah Bar Idu Nevi'ah. So these two Nevi'im, Zechariah and Chagai, who were Nevi'im that prophesied al Yehudai Devi Yehud of Yerushalem. They were not Nevi'im that were active in the Golah, but rather they were the ones who had come up, as the Gemara says, had come up with those that were coming back to Yerushalayim. It was there that they were given their Nevi'ut, B'Shem Elah Yisrael Aleihon, with the name of the God of Yisrael that had been shorah on them, B'Nevi'ut, and it doesn't say what they said. Now, it's clear from the continuation that what they said was, forget about the government and do whatever you need to do to rebuild the Heichal, and things will work out. And that's exactly what they did. And that we saw earlier that actually we needed the Nevi'ut of Chagai Zechariah. What happened to Malachi? Because Malachi was there also. This is the basis, really, of the Gemara's assumption that Ezra is Malachi. And that when Ezra appears, it's essentially Malachi that's appearing. And again, playing the games with the names that we saw elsewhere. It was about the Amor who wanted to trace Mordecai into Malachi, and Amor disproves that. But that Ezra may be an alter ego of Malachi is certainly a possibility. But in any event, these two Nevi'im are the ones that are mentioned. The Gemara talks about Chag Zechariah Malachi that had come to be made about the exact placement of the Mizbeach, and that they were allowed to bring those karbonis they had started to bring, even though there hadn't been a Echal. And according to one Mandiomer, also about the change in the writing that was to take place from that point on. Bedain Kamuz Rubavel Bar Shaltiel V'Yeshua Bar Yot Sadak. And at that point, because of that Neviut, immediately Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, this is the great-grandson of the man that was never going to have any children according to God's curse, and all that was changed, and Yehoshua was the Kohen HaGadol, and they immediately, Vishariv, they began, L'mivne Beit Elohad of Yerushalayim, to build the house of God in Yerushalayim, and Imhon Nevi'ayah de'elohan Misa'ad de'inon. And with them were God's prophets that were helping them. We saw that they, whenever there was a problem, lahalacha, about where and how, what you're allowed to do, and they had the Nevi'im with them, and also, of course, there's a chut to prevent damage, which, of course, they knew was going to happen as soon as it got out, that they had started rebuilding without a license, that this was going to get out. Part of the hashgacha was that Beis Zimna, at that very time, instead of the enemies, the Tzorei Yehuda, that we saw before, were taken upon themselves to be mafsik, to prevent the building of the Hecha, again, assuming that the description of the events was not only about the wall, was really an indication of what happened earlier as well. Thank heavens, these guys didn't get involved. There was a new governor, and that governor's name was Tatnai. Tatnai was not an anti-Semite. And he handled things in just a very straightforward legal fashion. He was not interested in preventing the binyan. And because of that, it was at that time that Atale and Tatnai, who was the Pachat of Avar Nahara, he was the governor of the entire Trans-Euphrates area, which was the fifth district in the Malchus Paras. And he came together with this gentleman called Shetar Boznai, and the rest of his group, his associates, Uchunav Tahon, V'chein Amarin Lahom Min Sam Lachom Ta'im Baita Dana Libnei. And so it is that we said to them, now this is clearly quoting some of the justification that he was that he used later on to the king's letter that he sent, or this is now the description that is coming from the point of view of those who were building. And they're describing that what it is that he said to them, and then later on it gets put into a letter, as we'll see. So, man sam lachom te'im, who gave you the decree, baita dana libimnei, to build this building, v'usharna dana l'shach lala, and to strengthen now, the usharna, of course, the lashon of yasher kochacha, ishur, it means strengthen. Something that is, this could be referring to the entire idea, the walls, the ramparts, the foundations, but whatever is needed to be strengthened. Who gave you the license now to, we use the word l'shach lele in modern Hebrew, l'shach lel is to upgrade. You go to your telephone company and you want to upgrade of your phone, it's all sorts of shichlul. So who gave you this permission? Adayin k'neima amarana lahom, again, most learn that this were the words of Tatnai and his friends, and they're part of what they are saying to the Melech in their letter. It's a little difficult to believe that because later on the letter is given in its original form and word for word. And it makes more sense to say that this is the workers that were reporting back from the outside of the letter. In other words, whoever's writing the book, so to speak, is reporting what it was that we said to them. So one way of reading this is, the governor, to cover his rear, says to the king, and of course we said to them we want the names of everybody that's involved in this infraction. But the other way is that the people said back to them, and then Kanema, and according to the following, Amarna Lahom, Kanema we saw before, as follows. We said to them, Amarna Lahom, we pointed out before in Daniel that this is a very bombastic, legalistic language. Every word comes out sounding almost like Israelis. So the Shemahat Guvraya Dedana Binyana Banayim. The names of the people that are building this building, hand them over, is one way. Or we told them the names. In other words, we're just the workers. And obviously the names were Zerubbabel and the people that were in charge. And then if that's what it means, then it means, of course, that they went to interrogate Zerubbabel to find out what was going on. Ve'in elahahum havat al-sheva Yehudai. And the eyes of their God was taken care at this point of those who came back from Yehuda. And because of that, the Tatnai's intervention was not anti-Semitic, and Voloba Tiloimo, they didn't issue some kind of stop order, because he didn't know anything about this. He's a newcomer. To him, this was simply a question of building permits, and so he wasn't going to issue a stop order, but he wanted to know from the central government whether the story that had been told to him, and we're going to see the story from the context of the letter, from the contents of the letter, whether it was true. So they didn't stop them, until there would be a letter that had been sent to the king, to Daryavesh himself, and then he would reply with an official document. V'adayin yitivu nishtavana aldana. We saw the nishtavana is a document, so that until a document would returned about it, he didn't care, and he let them continue. This was a miracle compared to what had been going on before. And it's, Baruch Rock isn't here tonight, but he asked me last night, and I think it's a very valuable question. Why is it, and I mean this is happening in our times precisely in the same way, that the one thing that drives anybody anti-Semitic crazy is building? It's a fascinating thing. I mean, they go literally, I mean, to the point of real, it's a pathology. Madness. I mean, the most insane kind, you know, what? The government allowed people to build? What is that supposed to mean?
Or didn't.
That part, that's, of course they shouldn't. No. What is that supposed to mean? The government is supposed to, the central government is supposed to decide whether somebody has a right to get a building permit. What's the matter with you guys? You don't know what they're talking about. This is a provocation. It's an international, what are you talking about? That's exactly what was going on over here. International provocations. How could you? And so on. So what is the reason for that? Why is building, per se? I mean, what about the Aliyah itself, the return of all of these people, an invasion of 40,000 people? I mean, that's not the issue. And the same thing happened in the Binyan Haaretz. The Yishuv is Yishuv, but the buildings, that drove them crazy. And continues to drive them crazy. How can you build? And what is that all about? It really is a remarkable thing. And the truth is that a phenomena is that whenever people are building, they have to put little holes in the walls around the building sites. I mean, they don't point this out. I'm pointing this out. You'll notice wherever there's a building site, they need to put up a wall that protects it, but there must be holes in that wall so people can look.
Peepholes.
Because if there are no peepholes, then the thing is torn down. It's an amazing thing. Always peepholes. Why? What they point out is that whenever people are building, there's always a crowd that's looking. No matter what they're doing. Everybody is attracted by building. And it's remarkable. You see something being built, and it's amazing. I mean, even if it's your hard drive, and you're watching the ridiculous defragmentation of your drive, you can sit there half an hour watching.
Well, come on, it's a living test.
What are you doing? Are you crazy? What are people doing watching building? I forgot which of the Achronim talk about this time. And I don't want to say something that it isn't. But anyway, but they point out that this element of building is such a fundamental human activity that it actually grabs a hold of you, because everything that a human being wants to do is to create, is to make something, is to have constructions. And because of that, it's something that people relate to in a very deep way. It's very, very attractive to watch. That's what they say. Now, I think there's much more to it than that. You'll notice that the lashon of having children is binyan. ulai ibanem mimena, so that the binyan of abayit, in terms of the creativity, the construction, is actually the reproductive process, is what's called binyan. The entire relationship of Eretz Yisrael is to zera, specifically. Zera, the zarachatein, and so on. With all of the issues that we had, including the counts, the senses, the importance of the fact that there is zera kodesh that needs to be separated, we spoke about earlier. To a great extent, the concept of building, as opposed to simply sitting there, is such a profound creative act that it's almost as interesting and attractive as sexual behavior itself. People cannot break away. They are jealous. In other words, in the same way that the nochash, the essence of Ra, sees Adam and Chava acting out their reproductive processes, and can't move away because it's something that isn't open to people who are not creative. And this kills them. People were here for thousands of years and didn't do a thing. The place was an absolute wreck. Come along, these people. Maybe they want to hang around in their tents like us. That doesn't bother us. But now they are becoming one with the land. They have a relationship here that nobody else had. That absolutely eats them up alive. You know, when they see the great... There's a story of the British... I forgot when it was, but the British foreign minister was taken around by in the early years of the development of the country, when the green line was very a very clear-cut thing. There was nothing green on the side of the Arabs. Everything was green on the side of the Jews. Huh. So they took him on a plane to see the green line. He gets off and he tells one of his advisors, "Those bastard Jews, they always take the best for themselves." Whatever the goyim had, there's nothing there. It's still today, you know, with the satellite pictures. You can literally see the border, you know. There's nothing is happening, no construction, no agriculture, other than what is exported by the Jews. It's an amazing thing. This is what they can't stand. So if it had been that Tzorei Yehuda that had watched them relating to the land, making love to the land, building themselves up with the land, this wouldn't have been able to happen. But since it was Ein Elohahom Avat Al Shavei Yehuda, it was almost miraculous that they were able to get away with this. We think that it's a miracle that people could possibly be so pathologically mad that they do the kind of things they do today in the UN. Here it's just the opposite. That's the norm, that people should go crazy with Jews building Eretz Yisrael. That's the norm. A relationship that it's the whole thing. It goes all the way back to the Bereishis and Koach, Ma'aseh, V'Gid La'amo. There's nothing that drives them more crazy. So this was really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's specific hanhaga to keep his eye on the issues. And so they didn't stop it. And instead, they sent a letter. The letter takes a long time to go and a long time to return, as we know from the whole story with Hordas. This was used as a model for the Binyan of Hordas as well, as the Gemara tells us. Don't ask, start building, let them complain. By the time they get it, it'll all be finished. So anyway, this is the letter. So now we move directly into the letter that they wrote. And it's interesting that the Malbim has a beautiful pirish on the strange openings of these letters. And what he says is this, that these words that we have, is Parshegen Igarta, the Shalach Tatnai, Bachat Avar Nahara, and Shtarboznai, and the rest of the group, Chnavate, plus the various representatives that we saw before with the Afarskaya, Diba Avar Nahara. And this is really an indication that the Pirushim that learned Afarskaya as being a name of a nation is very difficult to believe. I mean, when you see it here in the context of the group that wrote the letter without mentioning any other nation. Al Daryavesh Malka. This is the Nusach. This is the way that we would normally understand that. Parshegen Aktav. Your Parshegen Aktav. So this would be the Nusach of the Igeret that was the letter that was sent by Tatai, the government of Aver, Hanar of the Trans-Euphrates, Shtarbaznai, his friends, the Persians, and their friends in Aver Hanar. But what the Malbim points out is that the letter clearly begins later, the actual nusach of the letter. And this doesn't make sense to see it as part of an introduction, because this is an introduction afterward. He understands that these two lines are written on the envelope. And the reason that they're written on the envelope is because they would sort the nature of the letter. Most of the letters that would come in would be asking for something. And that, you know, we can wait a few years before we see what people need or what people want and so on. That's not an important letter. What they needed to put on the envelope itself was an indication of which department this letter is going to. Therefore, what it says over here is that this is the letter that we are sending you, and it is Pitgama Shochu Alui. What is that supposed to mean, Pitgama Shochu Alui? They wrote their things on it. It's to tell me we want an answer. That's what it means. Pitgama, we are asking for this thing, a response. There's nothing in here that you got to worry about. We don't want any money. We need a response to this letter in terms of a legal response, in which case we go directly to the legal department, and then there would be no problem. And then we move on to what was written in it. So that's why Pitgama Shelachu Alui, they put on the outside that this was a request for a response, a legal response. And then Chidna Ketiv Begava, and the following Chidna as this was written inside of it. Quote, and here we begin finally the quote. So that's clear, the Begave is what's written inside, and the Alui was the message that was written before so that they would know which department to send it to. L'Daryavesh Malka. Following is being sent to Daryavesh the king. Shalama chola. All peace be to you, sir. Yedia lahave la Malka. And we wish to inform the king. Diazana le'yehud medinta. We have gone and paid a visit, in our capacity, obviously, to the Jewish state. Levet Elohar Rabba. To the house of the great Lord, and who mitbanei even gilal ve'a mitzam b'kutlaya. It is being rebuilt with even gilal. Now, even gilal has been, for thousands of years, just been assumed to be just a word, even gilal. That is to say, it's like shayish. But the truth is, as the Eben Ezra and the later the archaeological findings make very clear, Even Galal really means the rolling stone. And this was on the front page. So this was the rolling stone Galgal. Why? Because that was the only way they could get it there. These were like 400-ton things. And what they would do is they would roll it.
I can't get no satisfaction.
So they rolled the stone. So what he's telling them essentially is that this was a major building project, extremely serious and heavy building materials. But the Malbim sees this as an attempt to mitigate on his part why he didn't feel it necessary to issue a stop order. And this is really backed up by the Gemara, as we'll see. The Ah Mitzam Bikutlaya. There is wood that is being put in the walls. Once wood is being put in the walls, the building is vulnerable. And as a matter of fact, we're going to see that the Gemara actually points out that why in the world did Shlomo do this then? Because it uses the same language by Shlomo. But it's clear that one of the things that he was trying to write to Daryavesh is, look, this building does not represent a danger, because Koresh's original plan, according to the Gemara, was the Bedavka to insist that there were rows of wood that would be flammable in the event that they ever attempted to rebel and use this as a fortress kind of thing. So it was built from a very bad defense position on purpose, and that was according to the original license of Koresh, as we're going to see when we read it. So that there's wood put in the Kotel, and therefore this building is really a rather innocent kind of thing from a military point of view. The Avirita Dach, Asparna Mitavda. Now, we also would like to indicate that this building is being implemented very quickly. Why did he mention that? Because, again, according to Malbim's approach, that Tatnai actually didn't want to stop the building, is that he was trying to indicate to Daryavesh that there was no local problem, political problem, that was attempting to stop them. And that, of course, was part of the race, that Tatnai was involved, and nobody else had really gotten involved at this point, either because he had taken over strongly politically, or magically, they weren't able to get organized, didn't even realize what was going on. So it was a very fast movement to rebuild this, and it's being very successful. Umatzlach biyadhom. At which point, continues the letter, and this is a separate paragraph, as you see, the stuma, adayin sha'alna l'shavaya ilech, and at that point we ask the people, that these were the returnees, kenema, as following, amar nalom, min man sam lechom te'im, who gave you a license, beta denala mivnia, ve'usharna denala shachlala, who gave you the license to rebuild us and to strengthen all of these ramparts? And furthermore, af shemahat hom she'elna lahom lehoda'atuch, we also asked for the names so that we could pass it on to the government. And we wanted a list of the people that are at the head of this effort, and they have to take legal responsibility here. And next paragraph. Uchanema pitgama ativun alamema. And what was fascinating was that they actually gave us a very interesting response. When we said that, they answered us the following. Anachno imavdoi de'alaha shemaya. We are the worshippers of the God of heaven and of the earth, the Ara'a. Uva nayin beta, and we are building this house. This is not a new building. This is an old building that has been grandfathered in here for centuries. Dehavad b'nei kadmatina shnin sagian. Where you guys come from? You think this is a new building? This is not a new building effort. We're just doing some repairs. And this has been here for centuries. It was built, actually, by a great king, Melech Yisrael Rav b'nai v'shachle. Actually, it was originally much stronger even than the things that you're seeing now. So there's certainly no problem of needing a new license. And it was a disaster that because Lahem, in the Hargizu of Atana Lalaj, of course, none of human strength would have been able to destroy this building, but because we got the God of heaven angry at us, our forefathers did that, he handed us over to those horrible Babylonians that you guys have fortunately replaced. You know the Kazdaya guy? You may not remember him, but he's the one that started this whole empire. And he was a Kazda. He destroyed this building. The Ama Hagli Labavo, and he took the people that lived here to Bavo. But thank heavens, Baram, when you guys took over and the Persians were back, now we've got a little civilization back here. And Bishnat Chada LeKoresh Malka de Bavel. We're talking about the new Bavel, the Bavel of Koresh, the Parsi. It was right then, as soon as he took over, the first thing he did was Koresh Malka Sam Te'im Beit El Hadana Livnei. This period is over. Koresh, your king, not only did he immediately issue a decree to rebuild this building, V'af manaya di Beit El Hadi Dahava V'chasba di Nebuchadnezzar Anpeik, even all of the gold and silver vessels that barbarian Nebuchadnezzar had stolen from this building, this temple in Yerushalayim, and he brought it with him back to his religious temple in Bavel. Oh, the great King Koresh. Koresh took all of that out of the idolatrous temple of Bavel and gave it all back. He made this fellow Shesh Batzar, we saw before that according to the Medrash, that's Daniel himself, and he appointed him the governor of the Jewish state, the Amarle, and he told him that these El Manaya, these vessels, Sa, you take these and go with them, and Ezela Chetimo Bechalad Yerushalayim, put them back into the temple in Jerusalem, and see to it that Beit Elohayit B'nei Alatrei, that the house of God should be rebuilt on its place. And sure enough, next paragraph, then at that point, Sheish Batzar Dach, the aforementioned Sheish Batzar, actually did exactly what he was supposed to do. And he went ahead and he came Ata, and Yahavu Shaya the Beit Elah the Birushalayim, and he actually began the building project in these foundations. And this is a long project. I mean, it's been going on for 18 years. I haven't been any problems, of course, but you know, it takes time. Umin Adayin Vatkian, from that point until today, It's been being built. No, nothing's new. I don't know what, you know, what kind of new information you think. This has been going on for 18 years. It's just not finished yet. a little disingenuous, but you're right. So it's B'nai V'lo Shalim, it hasn't been completed. And so, now back to what the writers of the letter say. At this point, the reason we're writing this letter is that Hina Malkatav, the goodness of the king, would he please do a check of the archives? Yidbakar bebeitkin zayadi Malka, he should please check the archives of the king, which are Tama di Bevavel, which are there in Bavel, and see whether it's really true. Haini taidim in koresh malka, is that the fact that there was a decree seem to aim, of course, if there's a decree, it can't be changed. We just need to find out whether there is such a decree. Is it true that back in the days of Koresh, there was, in fact, a decree, l'mivne beit elaha deich v'Yerushalayim, to build this temple in Jerusalem? And what you find out, if the king is willing, please, ru'ut malkal dana, yishlach alena, and what the king wishes to do shall please be sent to us. And this letter was sent off while all the building was going on.
Who sent the letter to you?
Tatnai. Tatnai, who was a newcomer, the new governor, who had been sent. And remember that the Jewish state was a small part of his responsibility. He was responsible for an entire massive area to the west of the Euphrates. And this was this little place of Yehuda. Apparently someone had written some kind of complaint about what was going on. And he wanted to put things in order. He apparently didn't like the local politics, wanted to regain control of the center that he was in charge of. And he went to see himself with his own advisors what was going on. And to cut out that small-time politicking that's going on over here, I'll speak directly to the king and we'll find out about it. And so, indeed,